The one thing you need to know about great managing, great leading, and sustained individual success by Marcus Buckingham. What is the one thing you need to know about great managing? To get the best performance from your people, you have to be able to execute a number of different roles very well. You have to be able to select people effectively. You have to set expectations by defining clearly the outcomes you want. You have to motivate people by focusing on their strengths and managing around their weaknesses. And as they challenge you to help them grow, you have to learn how to steer them toward roles that truly fit them, rather than simply promoting them up the corporate ladder. Great leader. The challenge of mastering leadership is a skill like any other, such as improving your golf game or learning to play slide guitar. Anyone who has the will and the motivation can get better at leading, once he understands the steps. Collins, in his book Built to Last, observed that the most sustainably successful companies relied less on leaders than on organization-wide phenomena, such as cult-like cultures and core ideologies. Although I and many others found his arguments persuasive, he obviously still nursed some sympathy for the leader as savior storyline. In his next book, Good to Great, based on a study of 11 companies that had dramatically improved their performance, Collins described himself as succumbing to the pressure of his research team. Early in the project, I kept insisting, ignore the executives, but the research team kept pushing back. No, there's something consistently unusual about them. We can't ignore them. Inevitably, this unusual something turned out to be leadership, albeit a special kind, which Collins and his team came to call Level 5 leadership. Level 5 leaders are not your celebrity-seeking, ego-driven types, but rather are characterized by their quiet assurance as they push steadily and resolutely towards their goal. In Collins' words, they build enduring greatness through a paradoxical blend of personal humility and professional will. These Level 5 leaders are, in his new scheme, one of the key ingredients in the recipe for transforming a company from good to great. If at least 15% of an organization's success is due to leadership, we need to know how to identify people who have it, or at least the potential for it. We need to know how to create an environment that nurtures it and celebrates it. We need to know which aspects of it can be trained and which are innate. None of these is impossible if each of us chooses to give it a different meaning. Good managing. You must select good people. When you hire someone, you're hiring a human being blessed with certain predictable patterns of emotion, learning, memory, and behavior. If these patterns are not to your liking, you're going to have to expend tremendous effort to eradicate them and forge entirely new ones. Since this effort would be more usefully deployed elsewhere, it will serve you well to take extreme care when inviting a new person onto your team. How can you do this? Well, since human beings are frustratingly complex, there are no silver bullets, but there are guidelines. Know what talents you're looking for. Do you want someone who's competitive, or altruistic, or focused, or entrepreneurial, or creative, or analytical? Ask open-ended questions, and have clearly in mind what you're listening for. Pay particular attention to the person's spontaneous response. Listen for specifics. The conventional wisdom holds that the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. But this is incomplete. The best predictor of future behavior is frequent past behavior. In order to identify frequent past behavior, you need to listen for specific examples of where and when the person has actually done what you're asking him about. For example, if you want to know if he's organized, ask him how he has structured his life so that it can be more efficient. If he can tell you a specific instance of when he did this, give him credit. However, if he describes in glorious but generic terms how very important it is to be organized, don't probe. Don't ask him for more detail. Every question you will ask will reveal to him that he is not giving you the answer you were looking for. Simply chalk it up to the fact that organizing for greater efficiency is not a regular part of his daily life. If it were, it would be happening all the time, and thus, no matter when you asked him the question, he would have been able to pull from his recent memory a specific example. Discover what you don't like doing and stop doing it. Your strengths, your love of problem solving, your intuition, your assertiveness, your altruism, and your analytical mind are your natural appetites, and are in this sense, irrepressible. I say this because your strengths are not only activities for which you have some natural talent. They are also activities that strengthen you. When using them, you feel powerful, authentic, confident, and in the best sense, challenged. As such, they are self-reinforcing. Left to their own devices, they will, they must, be expressed. If your strengths are those activities that strengthen you, your weaknesses are the opposite. They're activities that weaken you. Confusingly, you may experience some achievement when using them. Myrtle was quite an effective salesperson, but in spite of this achievement, they leave you feeling depleted, drained, frustrated, or merely bored. To sustain success in life, you must recognize your weaknesses for what they are and ruthlessly eradicate them from your life. In this sense, success is less about accumulating and more about editing. To bring this discipline to mind, stop reading for a moment and try to recall an event in which you struggled. It doesn't have to be significant, career-threatening failure. Just some event where things didn't work out the way you wanted them to. Now, sit back and reflect on this event. Walk through it in your mind in as vivid as detail as you can. Identify which aspects of this event were within your control. What did you not do that, in hindsight, you should have done? What little mistakes did you make that if you were to do all over again, you would avoid making? Have you made these mistakes before? Is there a pattern here? If so, why do you always seem to struggle with these kind of situations? Do you lack the talent to see what needs to be seen? Or do you possess the talent but lack the ability to become energized and excited by these kinds of situations? Do they bore you or frustrate you? Or drain you of energy? Do they, in the end, leave you feeling empty? Intentional imbalance. To excel as a manager, you must never forget that each of your direct reports is unique, and that your chief responsibility is not to eradicate this uniqueness, but rather to arrange roles, responsibilities, and expectations so that you can capitalize upon it. The more you perfect this skill, the more effectively you will turn talents into performance. To excel as a leader requires the opposite skill. You must become an adept at calling upon those needs we all share. Our common needs include the need for security, for community, for authority, and for respect. But for you, the leader, the most powerful universal need is our need for clarity. To transform our fear of the unknown into confidence in the future, you must discipline yourself to describe our joint future vividly and precisely. As your skill at this grows, so will our confidence in you. And last, you must remember that your sustained success depends on your ability to cut out of your working life those activities or people that pull you off your strengths path. Your leader can show you clearly your better future. Your manager can draft you onto the team and cast you into the right role on the team. However, it will always be your responsibility to make the small but significant course corrections that allow you to sustain your highest and best contribution to this team. And to the better future it is charged with creating. The more skilled you are at this, the more valued and fulfilled and successful you will become. As we've seen in each of these roles, the critical skill is not balanced, but it's inverse, intentional imbalance. The great manager bets that he will prevail by magnifying, emphasizing, and then capitalizing on each employee's uniqueness. The great leader comes to a conclusion about his core customer, his organization's strength, and its core score, and the actions he will commit to right now, and then, in the service of clarity, banishes from his thought and conversation almost everything else. The sustainably effective individual, by rigorously removing the irritants from his working life, engages with the world in an equally imbalanced fashion.